Good morning. Good morning. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll take the whole chapter. Now these are the words of the letter which Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem to the rest of the elders of the exile, the priests, the prophets, and all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jeconiah and the queen mother, the court officials, the princes of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the smiths had departed from Jerusalem. The letter was sent by the hand of Elasa, the son of Shaphan, and Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to Babylon to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them, and plant gardens and eat their produce. Take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters and multiply there and do not decrease. Seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will have welfare. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you, in my name, I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes and will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile. Because you have said, the Lord has raised up prophets for us in Babylon. For thus says the Lord concerning the king who sits on the throne of David and concerning all the people who dwell in this city, your brothers who did not go with you into exile. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I am sending upon them the sword, famine, and pestilence, and I will make them like split open figs that cannot be eaten due to rottenness. I will pursue them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence, and I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. Because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent them again and again by my servants, the prophets, but you did not listen, declares the Lord. You, therefore, hear the word of the Lord, all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning Ahab, the son of Kolaiah, and concerning Zedekiah, the son of Messiah, who are prophesying to you falsely in my name. Behold, I will deliver them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and he will slay them before your eyes. Because of them, a curse will be used by all the exiles from Judah who are in Babylon, saying, may the Lord make you like Zedekiah and like Ahab, whom the king of Babylon roasted in the fire, because they acted foolishly in Israel and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives and have spoken words in my name falsely, which I did not command them. And I am he who knows and am a witness, declares the Lord. To Shemaiah the Nehelamite you shall speak, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because you have sent letters in your own name to all the people who are in Jerusalem, and to Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, and to all the priests, saying, the Lord has made you priests instead of Jehoiada, the priest, to be the overseer in the house of the Lord over every madman who prophesies, to put him in the stocks and in the iron collar. Now then, why have you not rebuked Jeremiah of Anathoth, who prophesies to you? For he has sent to us in Babylon, saying, the exile will be long. Build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. Zephaniah the priest read this letter to Jeremiah the prophet. Then came the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, saying, send to all the exiles, saying, thus says the Lord concerning Shemaiah the Nehelamite. Because Shemaiah has prophesied to you, although I did not send him, and he has made you trust in a lie. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I am about to punish Shemaiah the Nehelamite and his descendants. He will not have anyone living among this people, and he will not see the good that I am about to do to my people, declares the Lord, because he has preached rebellion against the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. Help us to hear and understand and to be changed and challenged by you, God, and we give this time to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, Jeremiah 29, 11 is an often, quoted passage, right? I know the plans I have for you. So I thought it would be good if we could really kind of tackle the whole chapter so that we can kind of understand the context of where that passage comes from, and we understand the background of Jeremiah and where all this is happening, just so at least when we quote it, we know the context and we know where that passage is coming from and where God is coming from when he says that to the people of Israel. So Jeremiah, the whole book, it's a rebuke, really. It's a rebuke from God to the people of Israel because they have turned away from the Lord, or to people of Judah. And Jeremiah is prophesying to them, saying, God's going to take you guys to Babylon in exile. Because of your sin, because you've turned away from the Lord, God's going to take you away from your land, and you're going to go into Babylon in exile. So that's Jeremiah's kind of the main message, at least up until this point. The whole thing has been him kind of convincing them, really, that you have sinned. You've walked away from God. You're doing things in your own way. So God's going to do this thing where you're going to be taken into exile to Babylon. And then parts of it, there are these false prophets that have been speaking to Israel things that they want to hear. These false prophets have been prophesying to Israel saying, don't worry, God's going to keep you safe. Peace upon Israel, peace upon Jerusalem. You're not going to be taken into exile. And basically, they are prophesying peace, and Jeremiah is kind of battling against them. Jeremiah is speaking the truth from the Lord, and thus he has become the unpopular prophet. Everybody is like, what the heck is up with Jeremiah? He's always saying negative things about our nation, negative things about our future. And then there's all these popular prophets, who are kind of saying these nice things, things that the people of Israel want to hear, that there's going to be peace, that there's going to be deliverance. And in chapter 29, it looks like the exile has already happened. Because in verse 1, it says Jeremiah is now sending them a letter. So he's still in Jerusalem, but there is a bunch of people that have already been taken into exile. So he's sending them a letter into Babylon, basically telling them what God is saying to them, which is to stay in Babylon, that the exile is going to be long. The exile is not going to be over right away. The exile is going to be long. So you need to settle down and prepare for a long time that you're going to have in Babylon. And again, that's the unpopular message. And there have been prophets in Jerusalem and in Babylon, amongst the exiles, that have claimed to have heard from the Lord, and they're saying, no, the exile is going to be short. We're going to return to Israel in no time. And they're saying all these things, but Jeremiah is saying, that's not what God is saying. These guys are telling you what you want to hear. These guys are telling you from their own mind, their own dreams. They're speaking from their own heart, And And Jeremiah is saying, no, that's not what God is saying. So that's kind of what 29 is. Jeremiah is writing a letter. He's saying, hey, you're going to be there a long time. Verse 5, build houses, live in them, plant gardens, eat their produce, take wives, you know, give your sons and daughters for marriage, seek the welfare of the city where you are, and pray for that, because in their welfare, you're going to have welfare. And then he says, don't let the prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, because they prophesy falsely to you. So God's saying, they're not telling you the truth. Jeremiah is the one that's really giving you the truth, that you're going to be there a long time. And then later on in this chapter is a rebuke, basically, for three false prophets that are in Babylon that have been kind of lying and saying, no, the exile is going to be short. Jeremiah is, you know, nuts. He's saying the wrong things. So he rebukes them. Ahab, Zedekiah, he says, basically, that King Nebuchadnezzar is going to roast them in fire, and there's going to be a curse according to their name, that you're going to be like Ahab, Zedekiah, who got roasted in the fire. So he's rebuking Ahab, Zedekiah, and Shemaiah is another prophet who apparently wrote to Jerusalem after Jeremiah had sent this letter. Shemaiah wrote and said, Jeremiah is saying that we're going to be here a long time. He's nuts. You need to put him in chains. But Jeremiah finds out about it, hears a word from the Lord, and basically rebukes Shemaiah, saying, you're a false prophet. So that's kind of the context of this chapter. And the whole thing of Jeremiah has been that rebuke, that you're going to be there a long time. You're going to be in Babylon a long time. And there have been false prophets that said, no, you're going to come back quickly. And that's the popular message. That's what the people want to hear. The people don't want to be in exile a long time, right? I mean, that's punishment. That's a foreign land. They've lost their identity. They've lost, you know, their land, their independence. So that's what they want to hear. But Jeremiah is saying, no, that's not going to happen. And then in the midst of that, we find our famous passage, chapter 29, verse 11. So let's just read that again. Let's go from verse 8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you, to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So that's the context, right? These people don't want to stay in Babylon. These people don't want to be in exile for this long. But God's saying, that's going to happen. God's saying, you're going to be there for 70 years, whether you like it or not, whether you choose to be planted in that place or not, you're going to be there for 70 years. So God's saying, so choose to stay there. Get, you know, prosper there. Build cities, get married, have children, live your life normally in that city and be as prosperous as you can and be a blessing to that place, because you're going to be there whether you like it or not. And people might be saying, are you sure, God? I mean, this is punishment. Like, we're in exile. We're in foreign land. These people don't know you. You know, don't you want us to be back in the land? Don't you want us to try and rebel and come back to Jerusalem, etc.? I mean, those things would be the natural thing, right? If somebody takes you on an exile and you're a nation, I mean, naturally we'd be like, no, we're going to go back. You know, we're going to do all that we can to make sure we end this exile, somehow rebel and find our way back to our promised land. That's what would be the natural thing. That's what the popular, you know, prophets are saying. But God is saying that's not what's going to happen. And so I think what's happening is God is saying to them in a way, hey, trust me. trust me because I know what I'm doing. You know, you think that you need to be trying to get out of this place and end the exile quickly, but trust me. You don't know your future. You don't know what's going on, but I know what's going on with your life and with this exile, and you don't understand what's going on, but trust me because I know the future and I know what I'm doing. So, they need a bit of convincing, they need a bit of comforting maybe for this word, for them to receive this word that Jeremiah is saying to them, that you're going to be here 70 years, prosper, you know, do all that you can to settle down. They need some convincing, they need some comforting, and this is God's convincing, or God's way of convincing them, saying, I know the plans I have for you. I have plans to prosper you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. So trust me and obey me and listen to my word. Originally, a few chapters earlier on, similar thing. Jeremiah says to the people of Israel, I'm putting before you a way of life and a way of death. And the way of life would be if you choose to go to Babylon in exile. The way of death is if you stubbornly refuse to be taken to exile and you stay in Jerusalem. So again, that's convincing them. Because people would probably think like, exile is bad. Staying in my homeland is good. But God's saying, trust me, this is the way of life. If you go to Babylon, you're going to have a future, have a hope. If you stay in Jerusalem, punishment, judgment is going to come. So he's convinced them there, and he's convincing them here, people that have already gone, and saying, don't try to get out of there. Don't try to, don't think that this is going to be a short temporary thing. I know the future that I have for you. I know the plan that I have for you. Trust me and stay there. So that's kind of just for a minute or two. That's what I want to focus today, that God knows, when God calls us to obey, and just think about it, God's called us to obey him in many things, and he's spoken to us, and he's leading us in our lives. But sometimes we can feel like, are you sure that, God, this is where you want me to be? I mean, this really sucks. Or this is really hard. Or this doesn't seem right, Are you sure this is where you have me right now? And God might be saying to you, I have a future. I know what I'm doing, He's comforting you and convincing you and saying, when we say, God, are you sure? Are you sure you're calling me to do this? Or are you sure you have called me to do this and I'm in the right place because I don't really like it or it doesn't seem right? This move to this country or this new job or even a marriage, I'm supposed to stay committed to this thing. God, are you sure? And God says, hey, I know the plans I have for you. I know your future, and I have a plan to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And God knows. I think just that whole idea that we can rest and be assured when we obey him and when we follow him and when he speaks to us and guides us, and that we can choose to obey him because he knows. Because often I think we want to trust ourselves. Often we feel like we know ourselves better than God and we know our future better than God. Often we want to trust in our own understanding, right? I mean, natural for us to do that. Natural for us to think, that doesn't make sense to me. And I'm not going to do that. That's not going to give me a better future. That's not going to give me what I want. I'm going to do my own thing. But here, God, I think God wants us to know, and God wants us to have peace and rest assured that if God says something and he wants us to do something, and that's clear in your head, you can just rest assured and obey because he knows the future. And not only does he know the future, but let's look at one more passage, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. This is when God is calling Jeremiah for the very first time to his role, to his calling as a prophet. Chapter 1, verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then Jeremiah, right? Then I said, Alas, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak because I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Jeremiah doesn't want to be a prophet, you know? He's scared. He's like, I don't know how to speak. I'm young. I mean, who would want to be in Jeremiah's shoes anyway to be saying all these unpopular things? So Jeremiah's saying, God, that's not what I want. That's not cool. I mean, no thank you. But God begins by telling Jeremiah, hey, you think you know yourself. You think that you're not ready. You think that this is not what you really want to do. But God says, before you were even formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. So God's saying, I know you better than you know yourself. I know you deep inside, your inner being, you know, the inner workings of your heart. I know it better than you do. So when I tell you that you're going to be a prophet to the nations, you can trust me because I know you. Before you were formed in your womb, I knew what you were like. Can you imagine that thought? Before you were even conceived, hey? Before, and it's mind-boggling, right? To think that before I was even conceived in my mother's womb, that God knew what I was going to do. So God says to Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and I appointed you then, and I have consecrated you, and I've called you to do this. So trust me when I say that you're going to be a prophet to the nations. Even though you're afraid, and even though you're scared, and you feel like you're not ready, when I'm telling you that you're going to do this, I'm not just saying it. God's not just saying it, you know. God's saying, I've actually prepared you for this. You know, I know you. So same thing for us, you know. If God calls you to do something, or if he's, challenging you or moving you on the inside to be a leader of this, or to move to a certain place, or take a job, or something, you know, whatever God calls you to do, which is really important, first of all, that we hear from God what he's saying to us. And when God does that, sometimes we think we know ourselves better, and we want to trust in our understanding, in our own understanding. But as God reassures Jeremiah, and as God reassures the people of Israel, we can rest assured that God knows us even better than we know ourselves. And instead of trusting in our own understanding, we can trust in God who knows us inside and out, and he also knows our future, so we just step into obedience. Amen? So let's pray about that, and Jeff's going to come and lead us in a song of worship. So let me just pray for us. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this amazing book, Jeremiah, God. And I thank you, Father, that you know us, that you know me even better than I know myself. And so often it's so easy for me and for us to trust in our own understanding, to lean on our own understanding. But help us to, to be really just obedient to you, as Jeremiah was, God. You know, when you call us to do something, when you challenge us to do something, or when you give us that sense of conviction that this is what you're calling us to do, or this is what you have called us to do, that we can be comforted and rest assured that not only do you know our future, but you know our deep, you know, inside, how we are wired, God, on the inside. And that if we walk in obedience to that, God, then, I mean, it's truly going to be what is best for us and what's going to fulfill us, God. And this is, you know, going to be the calling that you have given to us. So, yeah, help us to understand that and Holy Spirit, would you come and speak to us today? Thank you, God. We love you. Here, I pray that first of all that we would be able to get into your presence and really get a sense of, you know, calling and direction, God, that we would always be open to hearing and how you're leading us and guiding us, God, that we would have that first, and then if we question it or if we're worried about it, God, that we would rest assured that you know us, God, better than ourselves. So, Lord, help us to get into your presence, to really hear your voice, and to hear from you, God, what is it that you're calling us to do, and what is it that you're asking us to do, God, and help us to get a sense of that first, and then to choose to trust and obey, God, when you tell us something. Thank you. Thank you that you love each and every one of us so much, God, and that you are so powerful and you're so good. so loving. So we trust you with our lives, God. Thank you. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's pray for those with cancer. Actually, Kenny, if you can update Cadence's friend, Sharon Chu's dad, has passed away. So we could take him off the list. But everybody else on there and going through chemo, and let's pray for the transplant. Let's pray that God will really bring breakthrough and healing and comfort to these people and the families, and that let's not lose faith even though we lose some battles. Let's continue to pray with perseverance and with faith and with fervency. So let's pray together. Go to the second slide. Let's pray for various illnesses and for salvation. And just let's pray for God's mercy upon them and God's love and grace upon them. And let's pray that God will move in a powerful way in their lives to show them, you know, may the healing be the testimony that they can come to faith in Christ through that. So let's lift them up and let's pray for them. Infirmities that our community is going through. Let's just pray for healing. Let's continue to pray for Pastor Carol, that breakthrough will come for her and healing would come upon her. So let's lift up all the people on the list. pray for our community. We're looking for employment. Let's pray for God's breakthrough and direction and comfort in this time, that they'll be able to use this time really well. And let's pray for assurance. And yeah, let's pray for them right now. Let's go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia, Grace and Ashley at Bloom, and let's pray for the girls at Bloom and the leaders at Bloom. Let's pray for Pastor O and his ministry in Cambodia, and Pastor Tang, who is the senior pastor of New Life Church, which we partner with when we go there for the worship conference. You can pray for New Life Church. There's a lot of believers, young believers there, that they will be trained and they would have a passion for their own nation. So let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift them up. Let's lift up our board. Let's pray for God's grace upon the board. Please pray for their personal lives, that they would be so blessed and so recharged and renewed and refreshed through the love of God, and that they will be filled with joy as they really pray and work hard for the church. So let's lift up our board. Pray for men and women's ministries. Let's just pray for Sandro and I think it's Bonnie who's leading women's ministry. Let's pray for those two ministries and pray for the leaders. Men's ministry has a prayer meeting this Saturday, so let's pray for that there will be a powerful time of prayer, that they will sense the presence of God at the prayer meeting. So let's lift up our men and women's ministry. Pray for SP 2.0, Let's pray for the new building and the donor. It could be multiple donors. It might be one donor. We've just had some prophetic words about a donor that will help fund the building for SB 2.0. So we're just praying in response to that. So let's pray together. And let's not just pray for the building and the money, but as a church that we would be really ready for the next move in our just in our compassion for the city and our understanding of our role in the city and just all that stuff, that we wouldn't just be physically ready, materially ready, but spiritually ready, and in our hearts that we would be ready. So yeah, let's just pray for our summer Bible study tonight. I will be teaching on Ecclesiastes chapter 11. This will be the second last one, and next week we'll finish up Ecclesiastes. But let's, you know, please pray for me as I prepare for Bible study today, that God would give me insight and wisdom, and let's also just pray that it'll be a fun time, and a meaningful time, and a time of learning and growth. So let's pray for summer Bible study. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your grace and your love for us this morning. Help us to meet with you as we pray on our own. And today, as we go through our day, I pray that we'll be able to always think of you, and that you will lead us and guide us today. Help us to bring joy, pleasure to your heart today, and thank you that your presence is always with us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.